GBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the
ABC
Civic Media
News,
app.
I'm Andy Field. As the nation marks a year since the mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas, President Biden renewed calls for Congress to pass gun reform laws. The small town holding a vigil tonight, honoring victims with lasting memorials.
Long after the memorials have ended, Uvalde will have a vivid reminder of the children murdered at Robb Elementary School.
They were happy kids.
Local artist Abel Ortiz Acosta organized the creation of 21 murals, one for each of the 19 students and two teachers who died, as a part of the healing of Uvalde.
And that healing process is never going to end, because the burden of that pain is just going to get heavier with time.
Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Still no deal to raise the debt limit. White House and Republicans stalled over spending cuts. U.S. projected to default on its debt obligations by June 1st. Tina Turner has died. The iconic singer carved out a career first with her former husband Ike, and later as a solo artist, became known as the Queen of Rock and Roll. This is ABC News. South Carolina, now the latest state to pass restrictions on abortion, banning the procedure after 6 weeks. Five female state senators, both Republican and Democrat, who call themselves sister senators, had been trying to prevent it from passing, but after three successful blocks, their filibuster failed to stop the 6-week ban. Here's Democratic Senator Margie Bright Matthews.
We all believe in life. We believe in life for the woman as well as a well life for the child.
And Republican Senator Sandy Sen.
Women are 51% of the South Carolina population, only 14% of the General Assembly, and even less than that in the Senate. But what I believe is the women are going to show up at the ballot box.
15 states already stopped nearly all abortions. A part of TV history is up for sale. House used in the exterior shots of the Brady Bunch is on the market. 5,000 square foot home in Los Angeles can be yours for $5.5 million. Andy Field, ABC News.
Unthawed or thawed? These are the questions the KreitzCast will cover every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Can you just pull them brats out of the freezer? That'd be fantastic.
4 Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinair. Here's what you need to know. The Milwaukee Bucks may be closer to signing a new head coach. ESPN reporting the team has interviewed 15 candidates and narrowed the choice down to 3. Ex-Toronto coach Nick Nurse, Golden State Warriors assistant Kenny Atkinson, and Toronto Raptors assistant Adrian Griffin. The Phoenix Suns, Philadelphia 76ers, Toronto Raptors, and Detroit Pistons are all on the lookout for a new coach. Gas prices down nearly $1 compared to last year. That's good news if you'll be hitting the roads for the long Memorial Day weekend. AAA expects 800,000 Wisconsinites to head out of town, with the vast majority opting to drive. AAA booking data also shows airfares to top spots are up 40% from this time last year. I'm Jane Matinair. This is Civic Media News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. Here's what's going on around the area. Stop and see the spring blooms at the garden. The Green Bay Botanical Gardens want you to see all the blooms throughout the gardens, 350,000 of them, in fact. They await you now through May 31st. On May 27th through the 29th, celebrate to pier at Voyager Park. There'll be music, food, kids area, and of course, fireworks. And don't forget the Memorial Day Parade, all happening in De Pere. And on May 27th, the Green Bay Farmers Market takes place in downtown Green Bay. Visitors can experience a host of fresh, locally grown produce. It's all going on from 9 until 11:30 a.m. If you have an event you'd like us to tell others about, we'd love to help you out. Email it to info@civicmedia.us. We are the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs.
But it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Barron, Saturdays and Sundays at noon on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
All right, who's ready to eat? We got brats for dinner, marshmallows for dessert.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1... Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. Dom, it's the happier happy hour. And I'm happy to announce we've been joined by a fine guest. He is pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette University Law School poll. You know, Charles, we've been doing this so long, I've just got that memorized.
Hey, Charles.
We appreciate you joining us, Charles. It's become a bit of tradition. When you drop polling, we invite you on, and you've always been generous and shown up. So, Charles, I gotta mention, before we get into the heart of the newest polling, there's more polling. You've already teased more polling to us. Charles, apparently presidential wannabe Ron DeSantis is over on the Twitter spaces somewhere. And if he makes a big announcement, we'll maybe break in briefly. But you got some presidential primary polling on the GOP side coming tomorrow, Charles? What? I want it now, Charles.
I'll be happy to tell you. Let me break some news. No, we're not doing that.
Come on.
Really, for listeners, there have been at least 2, if not 3, national polls dropping in the last 48 hours. And so it's a good chance for people to see how much they agree with each other in terms of who's ahead and by how much and where there are differences there. So, while naturally I want you to tune in tomorrow for my results, it really is a good opportunity to look at several polls all done at the same time and to what extent we agree and don't agree.
Charles, before we turn to the new Supreme Court polling that we're going to talk about today, election cycle wise, I mean, to our audience, even the diehard political junkies like us, I mean, it seems like these election campaigns run forever. But actually, in 2016, Charles, we remember a much more vibrant race going on in January. We were in Des Moines, Iowa, warm January day in Des Moines of 2015. And Donald Trump was flirting with the run, and Scott Walker was the belle of the ball. And everyone from Newt Gingrich to Calista Gingrich were there. I mean, there was all kinds of, you know, righty political luminaries. And of course, when Trump was the incumbent president, you didn't see that Republican field. But on the Democratic side, we had, Dom, something like 24 candidates in Cedar Rapids, Iowa in 2019 at an event. Charles, why is it taking so long? Donald Trump apparently, and Nikki Haley, an early innovator, but why do you think it's taking these Republicans so long to flush out?
It's been backing up. Now, there are a lot of people that are flirting with it, but not quite getting in, right? Look at Mike Pence. He's been not running for months now, but he's been out there actively on the trail. I'm a little surprised that we haven't seen a few more announcements now. I do think the intimidation factor of Trump, the hold he still has within the party, is really formidable. And if you're a candidate, you have to ask yourself, what am I getting into and what's in it for me if there's this guy that seems to hold 40 to 55% of the party? You know, take him down and you'll be famous, but others have tried.
Yeah, if you shoot at the king, you better hit him on the first one. Or the queen. And the state of Wisconsin, where we reside, and I care a lot about the politics, Tammy Baldwin's going to defend her seat. She's announced the incumbent progressive Democratic senator from Wisconsin. And not a single Republican has jumped in the race. It's almost like they see her as the unbeatable Tammy Baldwin, like I do, Charles. I don't see anyone beating her this cycle, but no one's even going to try?
I'm sure somebody's going to try. The question is, are they an A-list or a C-list candidate on that? You know, Baldwin has really impressed with winning by 5.5 points in 2012 against, you know, the famous Tommy Thompson, three-and-a-half-time governor. And then an 11-point win in 2018, granted a not especially strong Republican candidate that year. But I really think that what's holding people back is, A, she really is formidable, and she's got a huge amount of money and ability to raise it. But I think the other is the fear about what the presidential environment, the national environment, looks like in 24. And is it a good year for Republicans, or is it a bad year for Republicans? So for some of them, the question is, if I'm going to run against a strong Democratic candidate, I really want to be confident that the top of the Republican ticket is helping me be successful. And there's enough reservations about Trump as a candidate, and increasingly kind of the presumptive nominee, though I think that is a little premature, that I think you're seeing Republican candidates holding off. And, you know, Mike Gallagher, the congressman from the 8th District, is talked about. But if you're thinking about it from his point of view, is 24 a good year for me, or is 28 a better year? He's a young enough guy. He can wait till 28 when Johnson presumably will have decided to not run for a fourth term.
One more, then we're done. Our friend Russ Klisch at Lakefront Brewery wrote that on the table at our old studios, Charles. One more and then we're done. That's his famous last words, right? I'm not sure that Rojo's ever going to retire.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates, Charles Franklin Polster from the Marquette University Law School poll. Well, Charles, maybe we'll have to get you back here tomorrow. We'll see how the schedules look, because that's going to be some interesting polling. But you have some interesting polling out today, so let's get to it. The U.S. Supreme Court. Lots of news about the U.S. Supreme Court lately, so I think this is a very timely poll. Let's start with the approved, disapproved. Charles, how are we looking right now?
Well, the court is coming down again. Its approval this time is 41% approved, 59% disapproval. That's down 3 points from 2 months ago and down 6 points from 4 months ago. But what we've really seen since 2020 is a decline followed by a little bit of an upturn and another decline and another upturn. It's just been oscillating. But every peak is lower than the previous peak. So there are these periods between major decisions or when the court's in the news a lot where its approval starts to come back up. But then it hits a top, something happens, and it starts to come back down again. But overall, those peaks are getting lower and lower. The stunning version of this is in 2020, in September, 66% approved of the job the court was doing. And it was still at 60% in July of 2021. So it's come down over that period by 19 percentage points from 60 to 41% in just the last 2 years.
Wow.
The trend certainly seems to be continuing to go down at 41% approval in the Marquette University Law School most recent polling. You talked about the Supreme Court being in the news, of course. Clarence Thomas, Justice Thomas in the news, and his wife Ginny Benn in the news. Has that had an impact on people? Did you ask about it, and what did you find out?
We did ask about it, and it's interesting in a little geeky kind of way. First of all, of the whole public, a third have heard a lot about Thomas's disclosure, a third a little, and a third nothing at all. So it's not the blow away everybody's heard about this the way political geeks like us might naturally assume that it is. But what's really striking is that the people who pay attention to politics most of the time, 60% of them say they've heard a lot versus only a third of the public at large. And of the people that say they don't pay attention to politics most of the time, only 18% had heard about this. So this is not unique to the court, but it's a great example of how important news stories only reach a big share of the attentive public, the folks that watch, that listen to the show, the folks that are reading the news and are involved in that. And as a result of this, the overall impact of the news hasn't been much, but for those who are paying attention a little bit more.
Well, Charles Franklin, I got to ask you about those that deliver the news. Let's call them the cable TV host and the journalist, and the ethical and honesty as perceived by those polled by Marquette University. And they've cratered, have they not? I mean, from the Supreme Court, it's down a net 9%. But journalists are down 26% in cable TV news, and I assume that's got something to do with Foxy News and the defamation suit, down 49%, net negative 49%?
Wow. Yeah, it's stunning. We finally found that the national news media and cable are less popular than the Congress, which, you know, is saying a lot, I'm afraid. I think one takeaway here is that the Supreme Court, despite its low approval rating, is the least net negative, though state court judges or state courts are a little higher on the net, but mostly because the folks that have no confidence in them is a little smaller. More people put them in the middle. But the point I want to make is that our institutions broadly are seen negatively across the board. That's true whether you have a lot of confidence in the institutions or whether you think they have high ethical standards. And, you know, if you were wanting to write an op-ed piece, you might write ones bemoaning the fact that whether it's government institutions or news institutions or the legal profession, people have this very negative view. We've heard a lot about thinking the country's headed off in the wrong track, but I think these results are just a good indication of kind of we're at a real low point in the way we think about all of these institutions.
Well, that's because cynics like Dom now run the world, Charles.
Come on.
But optimists like you and I, Charles, we're gonna change the world. Thank you so much for joining the Devils today.
Shortcomings, right? There are definite shortcomings for us to complain about. And trust in government has been plummeting for 60 years since the 1960s. So this is not really a shocking finding, but it is interesting that we asked about 8 or 9 institutions and all of them are underwater.
It mirrors Dominic's entire life. Coincidence? I think not. Thank you, Charles Franklin. More Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some,
that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 39. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 65. Tomorrow, bright sunshine. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 41. Turning warmer Friday and Saturday, with highs from the low 70s to the mid 70s. Once again, a low of 39 tonight. Highs reach 65 tomorrow. Lows level off around 41 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 62.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
The big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to clear my throat and thank our most recent guest, a fine one, Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire, executive director of the Marquette University Law School poll. Although I'm shaking a fist at him right now because he's got more polling dropping after midnight. Charles!
On the GOP presidential primary. So I'm just going to reach out to him tomorrow, see if we can squeeze him in for a little bit tomorrow.
Now, right now, there's supposed to be an important addition. The second viable Republican has entered the field, I think. But it's really hard to tell from the coverage over on the Twitter. The Twitter is crashing. The Twitter spaces where Ron DeSantis has gone to make his big announcement, and Elon Musk is supposed to be there, and it's a moderated audio conversation, but very early on they had over 400,000 people trying to stream this thing, and the events being described as, let's just say, glitchy Dom. Ron DeSantis holds, I've got the Guardian's coverage, Ron DeSantis holds campaign launch event with Elon Musk on Twitter. Follow live, they claim. Well, you've got to follow the tweets because you can't follow the audio stream, apparently. It's glitching. After Elon Musk laid off scores of employees who kept the social media platform running, glitches and errors have become somewhat commonplace on Twitter. Ron DeSantis has yet to say a word. But amid all the feedback, Musk said, with more than 400,000 listeners on the stream, the servers are straining somewhat. It has become incomprehensible, if you call that straining somewhat. Joe Biden's social media team seems to be having a little bit of fun with it. They tweeted out a, you know, donate to reelect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris link. And their label says, this link works. And one more here, Dom, 10 minutes ago. The event is off to a glitchy start. The audio line has bad feedback. Here's a quote. This is a positive quote, trying to, you know, find the silver lining, if you will. We got so many people here that we're kind of melting the servers, which is a good sign, said David Sachs, the Republican donor and friend of Elon Musk, who is moderating the audio event.
Yeah, because you know how you know server space and cloud space continues to increase in price? I mean, come on, man. Really? Twitter? $44 billion, 400,000 people you can't handle on a stream? I don't know, man. It seems pretty weak.
You know what my partner, Sage, you know what his expertise is? Cloud storage. I should have called Sage.
Right.
Call us, 844-967-2789. So Is this shocking at all that Ron DeSantis would have a mock-worthy campaign launch?
Well,
I mean,
no,
you had to see some sort of trouble coming. And why wouldn't you go to a network television? Or why wouldn't you go somewhere where all the networks were, you know, covering this thing concurrently?
I'm sorry, are those networks owned by Musk? Right? That's why. This is the billionaire's deal.
Do you blame Musk? Do you criticize Musk then? You know, all this sucking up to the rich guy? And the app crashed, right? The platform crashed.
I mean, come on. Yes, the sucking up to the rich guy is very strange to me. As I said earlier, it does not
show it's the only thing that qualifies him to be president.
Or independence. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you get, you know, shuffled out by your billionaire donor, say, hey, here's my guy, you know, dance on a string for me, marionette.
Dance monkey.
You know, I just don't know that is the image that I would want. If I was in that position, there's no way in hell I would be introduced on a billionaire's little platform. Not a little platform. Of course, it's a huge platform, but he's wrecked it as part of a campaign launch. But, you know, he's also presumably maybe going to be a big donor. But that's the thing. You got to be careful about these billionaires, eccentric psychotypes, because they'll turn on you in an instant.
You know, everyone's claiming, if you watch here, you can see Ron DeSantis declare for presidency. He does have a video. Aaron, maybe go over to Foxy News or something and search the Ron DeSantis campaign launch video, because that's a little interesting. You know, this is how he would cast himself. Hero for the people, right, Dom?
Is that what he is?
Well, I would think he thinks he is. He does have a video, and he has signed off on the paperwork, Dom. He's got a launch video.
I don't know if the hero for the people would be, you know, joining the billionaire.
Well, that's
a presidential campaign to, what, be the president of the people?
That's how I was characterizing him. Well, I'm not saying he would say that about himself. Of course he's not for people, Dom. Not unless you're rich people.
Like Elon Musk.
Or white evangelical Christian people. He's done for you as well. The rest of us, though, not so much. Right? Did you find that video? Aaron's giving me a nod. You know, I've only seen it briefly. I don't think I've played it all the way through. But, you know, this is as close as we can get to bringing you the launch of the Ron DeSantis. Because Ron DeSantis is blowing up Twitter, apparently. You know, his
he broke the internet.
Yes, that's how they'll spin it over on Newsmax. Play it for the people. Ron DeSantis, hero for the people, question mark? Play it.
Our border is a disaster. Crime infests our cities. The federal government makes it harder for families to make ends meet, and the president flounders. But decline is a choice. Success is attainable, and freedom is worth fighting
freedom
for. Righting the ship requires restoring sanity to our society, normalcy to our communities, and integrity to our institutions.
And loud music.
Truth must be our foundation.
Yeah.
Common sense can no longer be an uncommon virtue. In Florida, we prove that it can be done. We chose facts over fear, education over indoctrination, law and order over rioting and disorder. We held the line when freedom hung in the balance. We showed that we can and must revitalize America. We need the courage to lead.
But why are we?
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. As the nation marks a year since the mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas, President Biden renewed calls for Congress to pass gun reform laws. A small town holding a vigil tonight, honoring victims with lasting memorials.
Long after the memorials have ended, Uvalde will have a vivid reminder of the children murdered at Robb Elementary School.
They were happy kids.
Local artist Abel Ortiz Acosta organized the creation of 21 murals, one for each of the 19 students and two teachers who died as a part of the healing of Uvalde.
And that healing process is never going to end because the burden of that pain is just going to get heavier with time.
Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Still no deal to raise the debt limit. White House and Republicans stalled over spending cuts. U.S. projected to default on its debt obligations by June 1st. Tina Turner has died. The iconic singer carved out a career first with her former husband Ike, and later as a solo artist, became known as the Queen of Rock and Roll. This is ABC News.
Hey folks, keep her moving to Civic Media every Saturday and Sunday at noon for the Cripescast with me, Charlie Behrens.
We've been out here all day. We've had five or six beers and only one fish.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Milwaukee leaders are urging state senators for local control to solve their budget problems. At a Senate committee hearing yesterday, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley described a dire situation.
We will have to make over $100 million in cuts to provide the same level of service that we do now after already cutting approximately $300 million already in the past decade.
For now, the shared revenue bill requires Milwaukee and Milwaukee County to hold referendums to increase local sales taxes. Meanwhile, Madison leaders say they're not getting enough shared revenue under the bill. Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway tells the Cap Times an increase of a little more than $2.5 million a year isn't enough. In sports, the Brewers blanked Houston last night 6-0. The rubber match is this afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served.
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through.
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job. I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988, then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So, if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, rolling through the happier 5 o'clock happy hour. We got A-Rod lightly screening the calls. E-Bone's taking a day or two off. You know, Memorial Day weekend coming up. Should all take a day or two off. But not this day. Not yet. Call us. 844-967-2789. Rob DeSanctimonious, as the former president is now calling his declared opponent. I guess now DeSantis is in it, Dom. Here's what Donald Trump is saying at this hour. Trump says he hopes DeSantis gets the full experience of being attacked by the radical left lunatics. Sarah Burris over at the Raw Story, Dom. After several months of softly running for president, it was a soft launch. Governor Ron DeSantis finally announced he was officially running. Former President Donald Trump noted in a post on Truthy Social, Trump began by using his latest nickname. You see the latest one? Rob DeSanctimonious. Now he's changed his first name as well. Now he's Rob instead of Ron. I'm going to get your name wrong, Rob.
I mean, okay. You talk about the Republicans so very concerned about the mental acuity of the current president, Joe Biden, when, you know, guys like Trump can't even get the guy's name right.
Trump went on to say that he hopes DeSantis will get the full experience of being attacked by the Marxist, communist, and radical left lunatics of our country, without which he will never know the kind of job he is doing. According to Burris, the implication appears to be that unless people on the left are complaining, you're not winning, air quotes, winning. He went on to talk about the lowlifes and misfits that he claims are far worse than the leaders of the hostile foreign countries. Like Putin and Kim Jong-un, I forget he was big buddies with those.
Yes, he loves the autocratic sorts.
844-967-2789. We'll get to you, callers. Be patient. Twitter repeatedly crashes as DeSantis tries to make his presidential announcement.
However, at the moment, it is working. Oh. If you want me to bring it up.
Let's dip in for, let's hear this.
History.
Yes, history.
Freedom of speech and a level playing field. And just a vigorous debate.
And this is David Sachs, the moderator.
This can be a platform that brings people of divergent political views to exchange those views, and perhaps some minds will be changed.
It could be a platform for that, and, or a bunch of white Christian nationalists.
It's just incredibly important, as you highlight, that the First Amendment is irrelevant if all the media and the government are operating in lockstep. It makes conspiracy theories
excellent.
Most important amendment, the one that was most urgently added to the Constitution, moot if you cannot have free and open debate. So Twitter was indeed expensive.
He's the governor of the state of Florida. How who's
priceless
stopping his debate?
Awesome, thank you. So, Governor, I'm going to ask some questions while we get some other kind of speakers in the queue to ask questions. I think maybe some people knew this announcement was coming because there's been no shortage of hit pieces on you in the press over the last week or two. I want to ask you about some of these accusations that are being leveled at you. Last week, the NAACP issued a travel advisory against your state, claiming that Florida is not a safe place for minorities to visit. What do you say to those who've been advised that somehow they aren't welcome in your state?
Claiming that Florida is unsafe is a total farce. I mean, are you kidding me? You look at cities around this country, they are awash in crime. In Florida, our crime rate is at a 50-year low. You look at the top 25 cities for crime in America, Florida does not have a single one amongst the top 25. And if you look at cities like Baltimore and Chicago, you got kids more likely to get shot than to receive a first-class education. Yet I don't see the NAACP batting an eye about all the outrage and the carnage that's happening in those areas. So this is a political stunt.
Carnage.
These left-wing
American
groups
carnage.
Have been doing it for many, many years. And at the end of the day, what they're doing is colluding with legacy media to try to manufacture
collusion. Legacy, now, legacy media, not like the Twitters,
fewer Americans.
They crashed during your presidential announcement. Dribble.
And platforms like Twitter are there where people can debunk lies in real time. And I would just say, as an American citizen, if you are uncritically accepting narratives spun by legacy media and left-wing groups, you're failing at your job of being a conscientious citizen. And I think people just see right through it. And oh, by the way, have any of these travel advisories, because they've been doing this for a while, all these left-wing groups, have any of them worked? Well, we're the number one state for net in-migration and have been every year since I've been governor. We just capped the highest quarter for tourism in the history of the state of Florida. And our view is
I think that's got more to do with the weather than the governor.
We don't divvy up people by race. At the same time, it is worth pointing out that we have in Florida more Black-owned businesses than any state in the nation. And we've also had more African Americans lead state agencies under my administration than at any time in Florida history. But with us, you know they're there because of merit, not because we're trying to play identity politics. And
do
if you
remember
want to look
his Surgeon General?
The black students
was
in,
he there out
Florida
of merit?
Perform much
during the COVID
than black
pandemic.
In most other states, we rank number 3 in fourth grade reading and number 2 in fourth grade math. Amongst our black student
population. I got a statistic for you. Let me throw it out.
The head of the NAACP lives in Florida, and a lot of their board members have put out on social media during my governorship Florida vacations where they seem to be having an awful good time.
AP is reporting that Amanda Gorham, she gave the Biden's inauguration poem. Yeah, that particular poem. Banned by his Florida school.
Well, there was.
So tell me more about it.
A singular parent in Miami-Dade that objected, so it had to be banned.
Of course. It can't possibly offend some people. Is he still talking? Are we listening? What's happening?
Well, a little more. Let's bring him up a little more. De-sanctimonious. Meatball Rob.
David Duke wasn't available.
Oh, yes.
Although
yes.
I'm not totally sure who they were saying was David Duke. I don't know if it was you or Governor DeSantis. It's sort of a little bit unclear, but.
But I think this is a function of the legacy media, these corporate journals. They're in their little bubble.
Legacy
and
media.
To draw allusions to
woke
stuff like that.
Legacy media.
How crazy do you have to be? But in their little bubble, it sounds like they're making some type of profound point. And so
you are literally
of, think,
in a insular bubble making a presidential announcement.
People should be exposed.
You're not
to
standing before the free press.
And I think the elites in our society have tried to cluster themselves to where their assumptions are never challenged, and that's
just like you're
society.
Doing now.
You're literally sitting next to Elon Musk, dude. What are you talking about?
No,
I'm for the people, Mr. Musk. Can I have some money, please?
Because everybody around you shares them.
Absolutely.
And I think they become totally hysterical because they don't like the idea that their control over the media is being, disintermediated.
Yeah.
Because now, candidates for president can
I'm hysterical
to people through platforms like Twitter.
Yeah, I mean,
Twitter.
How many times are they going to say Twitter?
Oh, as many as they can. Is he going to have like a little Twitter, logo on his suit? Maybe I'll be his lapel pin.
Well, we wouldn't see it because this is an audio only. I mean, that's why we have radio stations and streaming products and visual products. But you cannot see this star-studded event, the Ron DeSanctimonious campaign launch. And where are they at for this, Dom? The Twitter space, but where is the Twitter space? Is it in Florida?
And it's also like it's not just whether the media reports something and an article is true or not. Even more powerful is deciding what the narrative is. And so it's just like
your battle with
so
Disney Corporation,
a newspaper or a magazine, and there's only one thing you can really put on the cover of a magazine. So. That whoever's deciding that is deciding to not talk about
who's reading magazines.
Offense
to magazines, but
Town Square, like we have here,
who's picking the cover art of the magazine these days successfully
instead of a very tiny elite cabal, which I don't recognize the irony of using that phrase, but nonetheless, it's true, and you judge by the results that this is a means for the people to decide the narrative and for the people to decide what
I got to tell you.
Is that what it is?
Is there any there to this?
Who's running for president?
Wait, let's hear Ron one more time. Meatball Ron.
Ron. Social networks really started censoring.
Or currently this is still David Sachs, the moderator.
Viewpoints that ended
how
up
many
being
moderators they got here?
There's just one name, but there seems to be two different voices coming from that one.
Well, Musk must be piping up also.
Yeah, he's there too.
This guy's running for president, but I'm the richest guy in the world, and I bought Twitter, and he's doing it here for me, so.
Let me tell you more about Twitter and legacy media and the elite cabal of corporate journalism.
I know that during COVID you worked with Governor DeSantis. It'd be great just to hear a little bit about your interactions.
Tell me from one of DeSantis's staffers.
Yeah, thank you, David. It was an absolute honor to work with Governor DeSantis, and I was really impressed by his decision making in the face of an absolute firestorm of
everyone
criticism.
Says he makes bad decisions, but he's steadfast.
You did the right thing when you opened the schools. And my kids in during California COVID. For a year and a half didn't see the inside of a classroom, whereas Florida kids were in school. And you can see it in the results, and the learning loss numbers are so much better in Florida. I'm really curious, Governor, you know, as you're running for president, what are your thoughts about reforming the public health authority in the United States and the federal government?
Great question. Let's hear it.
The CDC, the FDA, the NIH. How do you see reforms we need so that the mistakes of the lockdowns that happened during the pandemic don't happen again when there's another pandemic?
Well, first, we need an honest reckoning about what happened during COVID.
It's Fauci's
fault. The only honest reckoning is that all of those agencies, all of the elites, the public health establishment, they failed. They instituted bad policies. Obviously, it's a novel virus, but I think what happened was when the data was becoming more and more apparent that the path they were on was wrong, they doubled down and wanted to do it even more. And I really believe had Florida not just kind of stood in the way, I think this country would have had rolling lockdowns for probably a 2-year period. And so
thank God for Florida.
Their impulses were authoritarian. They were not following the data. And I think the U.S. government needs to acknowledge the failures. And I think all of those agencies need to be cleaned out. What I saw just dealing with them was I saw a interest in the narrative and in politics over evidence-based reasoning and evidence-based medicine. And so I don't have confidence.
We're going
to
take the bleach and put it on, put it inside. We would talk about that. Maybe the sun, get the sun.
Enchilada.
Try all the drugs.
With respect to public health in this country.
Let's be done with DeSantis.
Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God.
So Ron DeSantis, I guess that's how he announced he was running for president.
I got to tell you, Senator Scott did a hell of a lot better.
844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, very patient man. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Well, thank God that's over with. I could have done without listening.
You're welcome.
DeSantis. It is just disgusting. Here's a man who actually, didn't he fire some health officials down there in Florida because they wanted to report the actual death numbers down in Florida? Because we don't know how many people actually died in Florida of COVID.
That's under dispute. You know, we don't talk about the deceased rate in Florida. Can't talk about fight.
Yeah,
Florida.
Well, I mean, and Ron DeSantis talking about, you know, here's a guy who wants to ban. He's nothing, no problem with banning books. That he's worried about talking about how dare they talk about the First Amendment? You know, for freedom of speech, freedom both of religion and from religion, which is implied in the no establishment clause. I mean, it is just disgusting that and Elon stench, because that's what Musk, the definition of Musk is stench. But I mean that they allow this guy, you know, that it stinks to high heaven.
Well, there's also something in there about what a free press, Dom. And all I heard about was damn legacy Twitter. Media.
Twitter. Let me talk about Twitter.
Stick around. We got another fine guest joining us here in the Solidarity Realty Studios, WMDX, Liza Hellenbrand, host of the Empowered Caregiver Show right here on the Civic Media Network. They play at 7. She's next.
Did you know Broadfest, the annual Memorial Day weekend event in Madison, is 40 years old? Its history is pretty rich, too, when the grocery store-owning Metcalf family set up a brat tent in the store parking lot to sell brats to customers. By 2004, more than 180,000 brats were being sold in the parking lot. Okay, so now can you guess how many gallons of ketchup are needed for the brats every year? 30 gallons? 45? 74 gallons? The answer coming up. These days, the fest isn't just about the brats.
You know, we have a kid zone, we have a farm zone, we have a sports zone, just not really like anything else.
That's Michael Alexander, one of the organizers.
Roughly 150,000 of our closest and dearest friends.
And more numbers, 4 million brats over 40 years, raising $2.5 million, supporting more than 120 nonprofits. And the amount of ketchup used, 74 gallons. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 39. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 65. Tomorrow, bright sunshine. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 41. Turning warmer Friday and Saturday, with highs from the low 70s to the mid 70s. Once again, a low of 39 tonight, highs reach 65 tomorrow, lows level off around 41 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 62.
Fox Valley, regional and state news and commentary. For us to find common ground, Civic Media.
The Devil's Advocates, never personal. Only politics.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. If you missed any of this fine program, go to civicmedia.us, click on the Programs tab, and look for the Devil's Advocates.
Dominic, I've been joined here in the Solidarity Realty Studios, WMDX, by Liza Helen Brand. She is one of the hosts of the Empowered Caregiver Show. Liza, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, Liza.
Hello, Dominic. No, and Mike. And Crudy.
And Aaron.
Aaron's
filling in this week for us, but I understand you still get e-boned. But I had seen an article earlier this week, and I told a story of myself. Whenever we talk about the Empowered Caregiver Show, I occasionally discuss it as a niche product. And I call everything that's not political niche, as far as a political radio station might be. And you've chastised me many times for this. The numerical number of people in this nation that are caregivers, I mean, it's a big number. It's approaching 20%. It's approaching 1 in 5. Mm-hmm. And we've got an aging population at this point. We're going to have a lot more caregivers. So how much of that inspires what you and Kristen do on the Empowered Caregiver Show, and help us understand what it is that you guys do each week?
Well, that is exactly what it inspires us. It's a huge number of people, and it's a growing number of people, and it's unsustainable. The current system is unsustainable as far as having the caregiver. Most of these caregivers work in addition to have the responsibility of taking care of someone else. Like you said, there's an aging population, so many of them are caring for children as well as adults. So the purpose of our show, we like to say, is to support, educate, advocate, and celebrate family caregivers. And the biggest one is really just to raise the level of awareness that family caregivers are the backbone of America's nation. You know, they are providing billions of dollars of unpaid care each year, and it's not sustainable. Changes need to be put in place. More and more responsibilities are being put on the family caregivers that you didn't historically see back in the day, right? You know, once upon a time, it was helping mom with some yard work or this or that. And now we're talking about, you know, being part of medical teams and insurance processes, and the list goes on. And they're dumping it on the family caregivers with quite honestly, little education or support.
Liza Helen Brand, our fine guest here in the Solidarity Realty Studios. She is the host of Empowered Caregivers, or one of the hosts, Kristen Voss, her co-host. Liza, I had seen an article earlier this week at the Washington Post, an opinion piece penned by Emily Kinway. Family caregiving should be seen as an expectation, not an exception. And I know here at Civic Media, we've polled just within our ranks the people we work with, and there are a number of them that are caregivers. It was surprising to me. I had no sense of what a large population this is, but I've heard you say it on the show, and I'm going to get this wrong, but something to the effect that you either know a caregiver you are a caregiver or you're going to need a caregiver, something of that nature.
The Rosalind Carter quote that is famous, either you are going to need a caregiver, you are a caregiver, you've been a caregiver, or what's the last one, Kristen?
You're going to be a caregiver.
You're going to be a caregiver. So it really impacts just about every person at some point in their life. Very few exceptions.
And it impacts employers. It impacts workplaces. It impacts people's ability to get into the workplace. If accommodations are not made in some way, shape, or form, a lot of good employees are lost to this caregiving role. I know I've heard that topic addressed. Kristen Foss, the other fine host of Empowered Caregivers, will be right here on the Civic Media Network at 7 Central Time. But Kristen, how important is this greater awareness for employers as well?
I think it's essential because we've got a labor shortage and a workforce crisis happening in our country. We have a lot of people that are out of work because of their caregiving responsibilities. So you've got two of these issues going on that are actually pretty interrelated, but most employers don't understand that.
And both state and federal levels, we're seeing propositions being made in part to try and address this caregiver crisis, as I've heard you describe it, as I've seen it reported. It seems to be a slow progress. It doesn't seem like it's gaining traction, at least not across the aisle.
So the crazy feminist in me is going to say it's because it's an issue that disproportionately affects women. And we still don't have enough representation for what are considered women's needs in our political entities.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a fine show on this network. Empowered Caregivers plays out 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights and replays in many of our outposts across the network Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. So if you're busy Wednesday night, try them Saturday mornings. The hosts are Kristen Voss, you just heard her voice, and Liza Helen Brand. What's the show going to be about tonight? Liza, I know you often feature guests. Who's on the big show? Who should we tune in for?
Me and Kristen. No guest tonight, and that's rare. That's rare for us. We like to bring resources to the table, local resources to support family caregivers, organizations that are supporting family caregivers, legislators to educate them, to advocate. But tonight it is going to be Kristen and I, and we are going to kind of do a deep dive into the mental health aspect of caregiving, and it is frightening. Caregiving is an extraordinary role. I wouldn't change it for the world. It made me the person that I am. I love it, but it comes at a cost, right? And it impacts your health, it impacts your finances and all areas of your life. But tonight we are talking about the mental health, physical impacts of caregiving.
And specifically, Liza, when we say this, we're talking about elderly. I mean, how do you define caregiving? Because obviously, if you know a person with children, a family, they're giving care as well. So in this context, how do you define it for the show?
Great question. Well, we define caregiving as those that take care of either somebody that is elderly, disabled, has a chronic condition, or perhaps a veteran that needs support. Parenting is a form of caregiving. That's not our main focus.
The Empowered Caregivers, right here on the Civic Media Network. Two fine hosts, our fine guests. They are Kristen Voss and Liza Helen Brand. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, stick around for them. Keep it locked right here to Civic Media. 6 o'clock is Native Roots Radio. 7 o'clock, the Empowered Caregivers. 8 o'clock, Rick Smith. And Dom, we'll do this again on the radio, on the airwaves tomorrow for everyone's listening pleasure. They've already exited.
Guest, Charles Franklin, a pollster extraordinaire from Marquette University Law School polling. Curdy, get on the horn. We're going to get him back here tomorrow. He's got another poll dropping on the GOP presidential primary candidate.
I'm not even sure if I can get you back here tomorrow, Dom. Thank you all for listening.
Inflation has pushed up the cost of just about everything, which means if you bought life insurance a few years ago, it might not be enough to protect your family today. Now is the time to get the insurance you need at a price you can afford. In a hurry? Don't worry. Call SelectQuote now and get up to $2 million in instant, affordable, same-day coverage with no medical exam. That's right. You can get up to $2 million in instant, affordable, same-day coverage with no medical exam in under an hour. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-613-8990. That's 1-800-613-8990. Or go to SelectQuote.com now and get up to $2 million in instant, affordable, same-day coverage with no medical exam. That's 1-800-613-8990. Or go to SelectQuote.com now.
Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the ABC Civic Media News app.